Hey, everybody. Great episode of the show. We discussed the latest Pudgy Penguins announcement, the overnight crypto dump, and what it could mean for the rest of February and March, and the next token airdrops to look out for. So it's a really great episode of the show. It's a lot of fun. It's me, Nick, and Clemente. We dive into a lot of different things. Sappy Seals is discussed, and some of the airdrops are discussed. It's a good time. So hope you enjoy. First, we have a lot to dive. Oh, we got an error on the video feed. Here we go. Looks like, all right, we're good to go now, ladies and gentlemen. Wednesday, February 21st. Today, we are going to discuss the latest Pudgy Penguins announcement that surfaced just about 24 hours ago, maybe a little bit less, the overnight crypto dump and what it could mean for the rest of February and March and the next token airdrops to watch out for. So we got a lot to dive into. Reminder to Bodago's holders that we're actually going to be doing an AMA today at 11 a.m. Eastern time in the Bodago's Discord. You do not want to miss this. So definitely check that out. That's 11 a.m. Eastern. That's in
You can miss it. Like, legitimately, like, you could miss it. Like, there's not... If you're not doing anything, it's the middle of the workday. Like, if you have a job and you're making money and you're like busy with shit, prioritize that. Like, legitimately prioritize that. But if you have time to hang out in the Discord at 11 a.m. on a Wednesday, come join us in the Discord. Okay? I feel like we should maybe move that to Sundays, like, to be completely honest. I was thinking about it. I'm like, what are we doing put in dead in the middle of the work day and in the work week? That it's going to be loyal people. Shout out to the people that join. Like, I'm grateful for that. Where did Clemente go?
Clemente's having technical issues.
So yeah, anyways, we'll see you in the Discord, the couple hundred of y'all that like listening in. I mean, you can also, like, a lot of you do like development, you're sitting in front of the computer, you're doing other things associated with it. In that situation, you definitely can passively participate in the Discord. I'm not categorizing you as a loser then. Okay.
People are asking if it could be recorded. Clemente, can we record this? Is that
we can't do that, unfortunately. We can't.
Yeah, it's recorded. We got you.
Just no way we're gonna be able to do that, unfortunately. But We'll consider. I prefer not having a recording of the mistakes that are made, you know, and the leaks that are delivered, like, throughout our time here in this business.
The, like, funny thing was, me and Clemente were working on, you know, the kind of game plan, right? And Clemente was like, well, what if it's like kind of communicated this way versus that way? And I was like, so Clemente, Nick's gonna say what Nick's gonna say, and so, like, at the end of the day, like, we can just workshop the shit out of this doc. But at the end of the day, like, Nick's going to do what Nick does. So don't think too much about it.
60% of the document is now stuff that PO's been working on. I noticed at the last minute. It's like, and here's why. P.S. PO's the greatest.
I'm not writing it.
Basically, the last bullet is just like, yo, PO keeps crushing it. Next bullet. PO deserves a bonus.
PO's
the greatest host ever.
I didn't even write my name in it. Every time I wrote we, all the things I singularly built on my own, I was just like, yeah, we did this.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take credit for the whole thing. All right. That's how we're going to do this moving forward. No, I'm just kidding. But no, you're saying, hey, record it. Can I listen to it after? We'll give you the bullet points. Okay. We'll give you the bullet points in an update afterwards. Like, if you got a sales deal, you're working on like a large contract or something like that, go make your money.
Yeah. I mean, don't put off a meeting with the client, guys. Come on.
Are you in the process of closing on a new home? Go close on the new home, because that's going to change your life.
Yeah. That's like pretty significant.
Do you have an appointment at Cartier because that's the only time slot that they had available for you to buy a $10,000 bracelet? Dude. Do not put that off. You have to go spend the $10,000 on that bracelet. Here's a little note about Cartier. If someone gets it to you as a gift, you can't return it to that for the person to get a refund. Straight up, you can't. I just want to let you know that, because I did at one point receive a gift and I was like, there's no fucking way that I need this. Like, I just don't need this thing. You can't go back to Cartier to return it and get a refund to the person that bought it, let alone to yourself. Instead, you get you get store credit. There are some commenters here bringing up other things that are less important. The birth of your child. Hop into Discord instead. Okay? A funeral of a family friend or, you know, a family member, whatever it is. Skip that. Hop in the Discord. But if you, like, forgot to eat breakfast this morning and you want to go get, like, a bagel and a coffee, go get the bagel and the coffee.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
even
you don't want to starve to death.
No, absolutely. And I like, so Alfalfa, a very loyal listener and commenter on the show, he pointed out, so he's going through the Brian Johnson brain tree protocol or the blueprint protocol. He said he's skipping his penis enhancement surgery for this. He was going to go get the Botox with Brian and then log the results. So a shout out to Alfalfa for skipping that. We appreciate it. We appreciate it.
Wow.
And last thing I'm also noting is recently some people have decided to stream token gated AMAs to Twitter spaces, a level of piracy that frankly will not be accepted. If we catch that on Twitter, I will be laying down the hammer, just so you guys are aware.
If someone streams the space to Twitter, I'm going to hunt them down. And potentially... Well, I don't want to threaten people live on the show.
That's true. Yeah.
Like that may not be the right approach.
Probably not. We got Ethan saying he's supposed to ring the bell at the New York Stock Exchange today, but he's going to be skipping that. That's quite the opportunity to skip, Ethan. I don't know if that's the right move. But anyway, look, ladies and gentlemen, 11 a.m. Eastern time, less than 2 hours from now, there will be a Bodagos AMA held in the Discord. So if you can make it, then you should make it. Anyway, why don't we just get cooking and dive right into what we're going to be discussing today. We had a Nick Weather Report yesterday. Thought he did a phenomenal job. I believe so, if I'm not mistaken. Clemente.
Oh my gosh. Was that the greatest weather report ever given? Probably.
It was very dry, which was very fun and entertaining. It was very dry. I think you maybe were a little on the cranky side yesterday, like a little bit.
It was a weird sleep. Last night, I slept even less, but I then went on the Peloton this morning because I was like, I ain't doing this no more. Ooh. I ain't not hitting the gym. I'm going to be hitting the gym also. I was just like, what are you doing, dude? What are you doing? Like, make a decision for your life. Make a decision for your life. I was thinking, like, I need paintings surrounding my wall, my apartment that are inspiring, motivating, that are uplifting, saying you're going to build along with your team one of the greatest brands of all time.
No, the painting is just only you, Nick.
It's nobody. Be a statue of me holding a Bodago in the nude.
It's going to be a statue of you birthing a Bodago on a hospital bed.
And throngs of people surrounding me just being like, thank you to our fearless leader, Nick O'Neill. That's what they're going to be saying. NiftyNick.eth. I want to change that username. It was annoying. I switched to PFP. You like, I didn't change the name at the time, and then I'm like, "Fuck! I got to go back and change this." And I'm gonna lose the blue.
That's a huge pain in the ass.
It's just
huge
a pain in the butt. What a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Not Lloyd.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Oh yeah, I think it makes sense for Nick to do the weather report today. Nick, would you like to cook?
I got this. Oh man, I got this one. ETH market volume 26.1 million. It's kind of dunking on Solana at the moment. I'm gonna be honest. ETH people having their moment. Okay, Solana's down at 9 million. Not listed on here is Bitcoin. Primarily because Clemente doesn't give a shit about that. He only cares about his own bags.
Real quick, Nick, before you keep going. My guy Fred Krueger posted like a long post basically where the message is ETH is a complete piece of shit. That was the message of his post. And I was like, oh, dude, I've totally brought NFT people to follow this guy. So I click on it. I'm like, let me see these responses. And I just see like a throng of people that clearly only follow Fred Krueger because of me. that are so offended. It was so funny, man. And like, I just love that shit. I love the tribalism in the kind of quote crypto sector. They were just going off. So NFT people do not like it when you talk trash about Ethereum, especially if you write a well thought out, essentially like 300 or 400 word blog post on why it's a complete piece of shit. Anyway, go ahead, please continue.
Well, on to more of Clemente's bag since he wrote this. let's dive into the next one. The top story here. Sappy Seals are up 45% to 1.65 ETH. Moonbirds up 15% to 2.1. They're coming up to near where I dumped them, actually, which is really, really interesting. Meebits up 14% to 1.38. And Marms are down 40% to 1.8 SOL. Ouch. Below their 2 SOL mint price less than a week after it's mint. Give it up to Solana, people. You give it up. You the best. Remember that, okay? Solana, keep dumping. NFT market leaders, I just said that, literally. Over the past 24 hours, Pudgy Penguins have announced their next line of Pudgy toys is now live in 3,100 Walmart stores across the country. And have also announced the season 2 winners for their Pudgy Toys licensing via Project Overpass. Pudgy Penguins hold a 20.3 ETH floor. Little Pudgies hold at 2.1 ETH. PO, I think it's time for a pivot on your holdings maybe here. I'm just saying, you know, last comment on this, unrelated. Had I just held ETH instead of bought my Punk, I'd be up way high, 2 times where I'm at.
So do you know why that's really, really interesting? Is because you bought Punks at a good time to buy Punks. But you bought 2x the floor because you wanted the Punk that you have.
It wasn't completely 2x. Well, yeah, it was pretty high. I bought it for 90,000 instead of 55,000 or whatever it was. So yeah, it was aggressive. But yeah, I'm a little I'm still debating it, but whatever, you know. What's $100,000 to a baller like me, you know? Optimism has announced their fourth airdrop to users with 10.3 million Optimism tokens, over $40 million being distributed amongst users. I'm not on that list, so I don't give a shit about this story. The airdrop was given to NFT creators across chain or on ETH. And other types of creators. Oh, I did see D's tweeting about this, about literally people who. So is this people that minted collections?
Yeah. So the Nifty wallet actually might be eligible for this.
Ooh,
yes. Our researcher Ray let us know that on Slack.
Okay. Shout out to Optimism. You the best. Okay. Yeah. Huge fan of Optimism because we're getting money for it. I wonder how much we'll be getting.
We deployed the Nifty portal contract. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. What is that worth, Optimism?
OSF, who founded Wrecked Guy and has deployed art collections on ETH, received over $24,000. So
if we get 10 grand off that, that'd be very cool.
Yo, that'd be so sick. Okay. Binance has announced that Portal Coin will be listed on Binance. Holy shit.
Binance Mafia, baby.
Which causes the token to rally over 2x in OTC markets, good old OTC, to $1.70 as the token continues to ramp up marketing before their launch. Creeps are holding at a steady 2.9 ETH as the structure for their allocation has not been revealed yet. People are getting a little bit sort of scared here. They're getting a little bit scared. Clemente was throwing shade on the timeline at the creeps holders. I saw that, Clemente, and basically calling them paper-handed bitch asses. That was what you were saying in your post, which I think is disrespectful.
Very rude.
To the creeps holders. I'm curious about where I bought and then dumped my creeps at. Because remember how I bought it and dumped it?
Yes.
I should have just held it. Is like the moral of that story. That one would have been a cook. Lastly, February's hot month for crypto has cooled off. With Bitcoin down 3.5% to 51K, ETH down 3% to 2,900, Solana down 6% to 103, and alts bleeding 7 to 10%. I was watching a video last night where the guy was talking about basically like the anticipated pullback. Like it could be like 20, 30%. It was some, whatever it was like a fairly decent amount, because also the S&P has been on a ridiculous like cook as well. And it's been consolidating. It's been pulling back off of its top. I mean, we just had like a pretty incredible run for crypto and for the stock market. I mean, there's stocks that are up 50, 100%. Like, look at Meta. I mean, there's all these stocks that have just been absolutely
Nvidia.
Nvidia. I saw Rom tweeting about the now's the time a couple days ago from rotating from growth stocks into value stocks. And he was doing a chart of historical PE values. And I saw someone else, I think it was either him or somebody else that had posted that particular chart, which I do find interesting. And we are at a really elevated level in the market at this point in time. I know that we're talking about like crypto going on this like huge run into 2025, but what was also maybe an indicator that it is time to potentially sell short-term if you're a short-term trader is that the YouTuber I watched surveyed his audience to say, when do you think, when do you think Bitcoin will hit its all-time high
before
relative to the halvening? And it was like 35% of people had said that it would beat its all-time high before the halvening. There was just so much optimism, whereas before it was like zero. And over time, as it's pumped, a lot of people think,
Bless you.
A lot of people seem to think, excuse me, I'll do that off camera next time. My apologies for those that were watching to see if you slow-mo it. There's probably like snot, you know, being projected out of this hog of a nose, you know, like that. That's, I just think, I apologize. So anyways, I just generally think there's so much optimism at this moment, including optimism doing the airdrop in the markets, that you do have, like, at some point you need to have a consolidation. Like, it can't just be, the market does not go straight up. And there's a lot of bullish activity happening right now. We see higher punk floors. We see Pudgy ramping up. We see Sappy Seals popping off. We see all sorts of things that are just absolutely surging at this moment. It's an interesting time. It's a cool time in the market. I'm very excited about what's going on, and I think that we're going to see more bullish activity.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's an incredibly aggressive prediction for Bitcoin to reach a new all-time high before the halving. It would be the first time in the history of Bitcoin that it's ever happened. You should also keep in mind that we're not that many days away from the halving. The halving actually got pushed up. So if you take a look, Clemente, if you just go on Twitter, Twitter's actually the best place to find the most up-to-date information, because it's like kind of it's dynamic. So we'll have to see, you know, when the halving is, but I want to say it's inside of 50 days at this point. So you're talking about getting to 69K inside of 50 days. It totally could happen, especially with the inflows, you know, to the ETFs, but at the same time, it would be a first of its kind, you know, pretty wild situation. You know, when you talk to some of these people like, you know, Joe Consorti, Joe McCann, on, you know, what they think's happening in the markets right now, they think that pretty much when you look at the S&P 500 and the performance, it's kind of like people saying, you know, the market's kind of saying, fuck you to the Federal Reserve, because literally the Fed's like, we're staying higher for longer. We're not lowering rates until the second half of 2024. And then the market's like, all right, cool, let's push this S&P 500 up to the all-time high, you know?
Pio, I'm just saying, remember how we were discussing a trade before the show? If you're going to make the trade, you should probably do it, because one of mine just went through, you know?
I don't care.
Hey, fading, you're out here fading none other than the Sappy Seals.
You're still in the middle of a weather report, sir.
I'll move on to the newsletter. I didn't realize I was doing that. The Daily Digest, which is now basically called the Daily Bone. You can get it at dailybones.com. Get boned. The Daily Digest is posted to X every morning and is pinned up top and emailed to anyone that subscribes at dailybones.com now, but you can go to the nifty.com as well and it'll pivot you over there. But I suggest you do it at dailybones.com, to be completely honest. Arcade's Clash of Claims ARCD token airdrop claim begins today at 2:21. You can check your wallet eligibility. Wow, that didn't come out of my mouth properly. Using the link Clemente shared on YouTube and pinned up to the spaces. Great news. I'm definitely not eligible for that.
You are eligible for this,
what?
Nick.
Oh, wait. Shit. Win it again.
Wait, so, this is a random ass airdrop?
So you're also eligible. No, it's pretty. I mean, this is the leading protocol for NFT lending. Cyrus tweets about this a lot. He's an advisor, I believe. They're doing something interesting. This is a marketing play, basically, but they're giving away a certain token supply. And it's first come, first serve for specific communities. So the first wave is Sappy Seals, Lil Pudgies, and Pudgy Penguins, if I remember correctly. And it's kind of whoever gets to claim it first goes. I don't know. I need to remember the exact.
I'm in a restricted jurisdiction, so you're going to have to use a VPN.
You got to take a quick trip to the Netherlands is my favorite place to go to. I was not eligible. I believe the snapshot was taken February 18th. If I remember correctly, but yeah, I mean, I recommend you guys at least try to claim this and try to be one of the first to do it.
Yo, all I want to say is shout out to Sappy Seals. You know, I was fading Clemente yesterday when he was bringing it up, when he was tweeting, when he smoked a little bit of the devil's lettuce, which he's been doing a lot more often. Have you been watching this progression? Clemente was like completely borderline straight edge. And now he's like progressively become like more of a pothead.
By the end of the year, he's literally going to have dreads. Then he's going to be like, yeah, man, I just bought the Sappy Seals, man.
I will say on Sunday, I got high as shit and watched Interstellar. Holy shit. That thing was, I was crying, dude. I haven't cried in like a year. And I was like tears running out of my face at the end. When Matthew McConaughey's doing,
I haven't seen the movie. Don't.
You haven't seen Interstellar. Like the funny thing is, if me and Clemente watched it side by side, he'd be crying at the end when Matthew McConaughey's crying and looking at the screen, looking at his kids. I would just be like rolling my eyes, like, "Oh my god, Christopher Nolan, nice,
so good." I watched it for the first time. I was like, "I have to watch it." Straight banger. But then I would get like these epiphanies halfway through the show or halfway through the movie. I paused like four times. And I just whipped out a Word doc, dude. And I'm just spewing ideas on there. I'm like, yo, Bodagos could do this. Yo, what about this content? Anyways, it took like 6 hours to watch the movie.
Mr. Yellow came up with a great, you know, little catchphrase there. Putin's parsley is a really good one. I like that one for sure. Anyway, so we got this arcade airdrop. I mean, what's the value on this thing? And why do me and Nick qualify for it? Who qualifies for it?
I need to get the exact. So Ebring, maybe I'm wrong, but this is what I'm going off of. But they picked like six communities. There's a wave one and then there's a wave two. Wave one is Pudgy Penguins.
Got it. And just for holding it, or do I have to go like on a conquest to acquire this thing?
No, you need to go on a like it's not an airdrop. It's like a percentage of these community members, whoever claims it first or twice, the Clash of Claims are going to be able to claim this. And then the second one, I believe, is Mad Lads. Like Bitcoin puppets are in there.
I got Mad Lads. I got Lil Pudgies. I got Sappy Seals. Where are the Bodagos on there, though, is the question.
They were not qualified for this.
Can you DM them? This is getting out of control. If you got a project that's dropping an airdrop and you don't include Bodagos moving forward, and let you, we're going to ruin you on this show.
That's that. Scratch everything I said. You needed to register basically beforehand. So
I don't give a shit. If you don't include Bodagos, you will be ruined. I will use all the bias that I can bring to a show with the highest of journalistic integrity. This show, I will be fading the hell out of your brand. I'm just going to destroy it. I'm going to go on the offensive and we will rally against the Bodago's community will rally against those that were hating. We need to get the gift team designing some gifts where we burn brands at the stake, basically. Like, we need to be like carrying torches and essentially being like, we're going to murder you.
I do like the idea of like Bodago's like head kicking, you know, just a brand. Like, you're just a body with a brand on the head.
Those are cute dogs with a torch or something like that. Or maybe with something like a little less anti-Semitic. Because like now that's like been, the whole torch thing. Seeing that clip, I was just like, oh, God. Fucking ruined the torches, man. Like, that's that was like, you like can't even use those in the summer anymore.
You kind of can. Citronella candles and stuff.
Not allowed. You can't use citronella anymore, thanks to the neo-Nazis. Backpack. Oh, sorry, what were we going to say?
No, I was going to tell you to keep going. I'm not rude. I don't go like this like Clemente does, you know?
Backpack has announced support in the U.S. for 11 states. I don't know what... Sorry, I'm using Backpack right now. I'm confused.
Are you might be in one of those 11 states, but... Yeah, the exchange of it apparently has announced support for the United States. I thought it wasn't U.S.-based initially, or it wasn't.
Oh, this is the exchange itself, not the wallet.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's pretty big. They kind of, the community was confused a little bit yesterday. They announced Mad Lads had announced like season 2 starting, and were like, people were kind of confused about it. Then they like Rickrolled everyone and put in like a white listing on there. People were kind of confused. And then 131 Mad Lads were inscribed on ordinals yesterday, inscribed on Bitcoin. But there's no official confirmation about whether or not this is actually the Mad Lads team doing it or just some random Mad Lad bozo.
How does one stake? Like, I couldn't figure that out yesterday. I have the Backpack mobile app. Do I need the browser app in order to do it? This whole thing is like, all of this shit, it requires documentation in order to figure out. This is so absolutely ludicrous.
Dude, I on my calendar, this is the last thing I'll say on this. People like kind of don't like it when I talk about this. I think they feel like I'm being disrespectful to money or something like that. I had it on my calendar 2 or 3 nights this week at like 7 p.m. to go and do all this crypto administrative bullshit that's going to literally take hours. It's going to take hours, and I'm going to have to pay a bunch of gas fees. I'm on the computer all day. Like, we've had a really productive week. I'm on the computer all day. At 7 p.m., I have to then go and move little pudgies across chains 90 times. I need to go and import my seed phrase into the Backpack wallet. And like, what are we talking about? I got to take out my little, like, what are we doing? I can't do it, man. It is hilarious. Anyway, go next story, Avalanche.
Avalanche partners with... You got to move your thing because then it says PO showing up when I see it. With SI Tickets box office platform to allow tickets to be sold and issued as NFTs for live events. Clemente says, let's not riff on this.
Stop. Just okay, keep going.
Moonbird saw volatile price action yesterday after Beanie and other... This one was a good one. Beanie and other Twitter figures retweeted a fake DM message with an X Horizon Labs Moonbirds holder implicating that Moonbirds would be launching a token. That's hilarious. There's no way that they're going to do that. I just don't see any world in which that happens. Yeah, this was ridiculous.
Moonbirds are up to 2.2 ETH, I will say. They're up. They've been ripping a little bit.
Well, seems like I should have just held on. You know what's not is Meebits. It's like, whatever happened to Meebits? I'm about to dump the hell out of my Meebit, basically, by a Sappy Seal. That's the trade here.
Meebits are up. Nick, they're up recently. They've been getting some sweeps. They're up 25% in the last 7 days to 1.38. So not bad.
Well, there we go. Moonbird saw
Damn, they're that low? I did not know that they were that low. That's pretty it's interesting.
Absolutely absurd. No matter what happens, There's never been a moment where I've been up on my Meebit trade, ever.
It was just down from the mint.
Yeah, it was $10,000 at the mint.
Yeah.
That's so absurd. And then those guys are just off living their lives. being like, we're artists. Like, what the hell? What is going on here? This is so ridiculous. And Sergito is off basically pumping his Meebits bag nonstop. I mean, shout out to him for like continuously. He has
he supports.
He continues to pump the Meebits, spread the good word of Meebits, despite nobody being interested in Meebits whatsoever. Rust, an artist and friend of the Nifty.
Yeah, hell yeah. Young
Rust, minting a 200-piece limited edition called Pepe in Paris in collaboration with Audio Galleries, and is open to mint for various holders of Rust pieces and Audio Gallery mint passes. That's on Manifold. How are people going to see that link?
Yeah, it was in the newsletter, but I'll add it and share it in the Twitter, both links. But yeah, I'm eligible to mint this, actually. 0.019, 200 by collection.
Wow, 20 of 200 have already minted. Is this thing going to sell out?
I think it will. I don't know how much secondary action it'll have from a trading perspective, but you know, I think it's a pretty cool piece.
Well, that's it for the newsletter. Sorry, there's upcoming mints. Is that separate from the newsletter, Clemente? Can you explain how this document is structured so I know that I'm done with the newsletter?
This is the newsletter, yeah. This is another segment in it.
Okay, upcoming mints. Elementals by Asset Dash. That's redundant. You say buy asset dash twice, is minting the first NFT on the WEN NFT standard, trading exclusively on Tensor today. Let's go to shout out to our sponsor. The NFT is claimable to Eternal Vanta stakers that already burned their NFT today and then claimable via burn mechanism on February 28th. Vantas currently hold a 5.6 SOL floor. Shout out to the Vantas. Shout out to Elementals by Asset Dash, but most importantly, shout out to Tensor. They're big supporters of the show, and they're big supporters of Bodagos.
Let's go.
More importantly, shout out to Bodagos. If you don't own a Bodago, go buy one. This newsletter was brought to you by Bodagos, your favorite group of underdogs.
Hey, this newsletter was brought to you in partnership with the Bodago Super PAC, the upcoming venture fund that recently made a 3X trade yesterday and is quivering, has Spencer Ventures actually shaking in fear that he might get dominated by this up-and-coming Moneyball-esque.
I wasn't aware that the Bodago Super PAC had inked any sort of formal partnership with Bodagos, and I'd be willing to bet that if they were approached about a partnership with Bodagos, they would not be interested in deploying the capital necessary to sign such partnership with Bodagos.
This is an unofficial Super PAC. The fact that we allowed it to use the branding of Bodagos is a little bit sketchy.
Yep.
Clemente, you did kind of violate maybe some of the terms of our IP.
That's fucking illegal.
Who pressed that?
Me.
Okay.
It's illegal.
I thought that was Bunny for a second. So yeah. Anyways, bottom line is shout out to the Bodagos family, and we'll see you on the call in a bit at 11 o'clock. I have a call that has not moved at 11:30, by the way. So we'll race through that, that morning thing, you know? And remember, if you have an important business obligation, put that first. And then we'll give an update in the Discord via an announcements channel to give you a recap of what was discussed.
I do see that call you have at 11:30. Maybe we start 10 minutes early at like 10:50.
Let's start at 10:50.
10:50, ladies and gentlemen. That's the new time.
That's the new time. It's at 10. Let's do 10:45.
10:45.
We're doing the call at 10:45. All right, so Jack's going to hate me.
Jack, going to be in trouble with Jack. That's for sure. Here's Jack. Ladies and gentlemen, our head of strategy, who we get in trouble with on a regular basis for things that are actually identical to this, has weighed in via Twitter. We're moving it back, Jack. I don't know what to tell you, buddy. We're moving it back. Anyway, look, Nick just did a fantastic job going through the weather report, the upcoming mints, and the Daily Bone. First topic of conversations today is, look, Pudgy Toys have launched in 3,100 Walmart stores. The way Clemente presented this in the call sheet is he said in 31 stores across Walmart, which isn't the way that I would have written it, right? 3,100 stores across Walmart. It's 3,100 Walmart stores across the United States. Just giving Clemente a hard time. You know, he's doing a lot of things right now. Anyway, look, I mean, this is the reorder that people were wondering was going to whether it was going to happen. Saw some official tweets from the official Walmart account, which was kind of fun to see. And they were like, yeah, like run it back, you know, like kind of having some trendy lingo and stuff like that, you know, very trendy. You know, look, Pudgy Penguins is doing their thing. Everybody knows it. It seems like this was priced in because it had literally no impact on the price at all. And the price
had been leaked, basically. Like we knew that that was happening. We didn't discuss it on the show. But the fact that somebody knew meant that everybody knew.
Well, there you go. That's generally how it works in Web3.
I think they also know the other upcoming announcements happening out of Pudgy. Like that's the reality at this point. Remember how they were like, we're not doing a token, or like there's no token. There's a token. that's one of the things. There's definitely other stuff as well, but anyways, of which I will not be leaking.
Nice. Well, there you go. Look, next story is Backpack launches in 11 states. Yeah.
Real quick on the Pudgy thing, I think it's worth making a comment on this. I'm going to take a play out of Luca's playbook here. And everything that we do moving forward will be historical for all of Web3. Okay. This is going to be a massive moment in the history of Web3. And the bottom line is, Pudgy says they're the face of Web3. We will become the faces of Web3 as a community. We will become the faces of Web3. And everything that we do moving forward will be historic. I want you all to know that. We also need our announcements to be way more, like, they're going to be tight, like, in the studio. Like, I really like some of the stuff that Pudgy's doing, the way that they're making announcements. I like the way he moves. I borderline find myself attracted to the guy based on the behavior that he's doing, you know?
So I have a question on this. Basically, what I feel is happening for Pudgy Penguins a little bit is that basically the market was like, oh, this is expected of Pudgy Penguins, basically, and this is not really anything new. What I'm curious about, Nick, is there execution risk for Pudgy Penguins now? They're basically turning into like a publicly traded company. If they come around and they say season two of Pudgy Toys, we sold 25% less, or Walmart didn't renew for season three. Is that
they're never going to announce that private information?
Well, and real quick, Clemente, can I answer the question? I know you directed it, Nick. And Nick, do you mind if I answer the question here?
I'll allow you to speak on this show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. There's a tremendous amount of execution risk with literally every NFT, quite frankly, including CryptoPunks, because Yuga Labs owns CryptoPunks. I would go as far to say that it includes art blocks and fine art stuff. There's a tremendous amount of execution risk on all this stuff. The only stuff that there's no execution risk on is if the human being that made it is already dead, which there aren't that many examples of that in the NFT space. Execution risk, it's like NFTs should have the word execution risk built into it, like straight up. Also, there's execution risk on every single crypto asset except Bitcoin. And I know Nick's going to like roll his eyes and blah, blah, blah. There's execution risk everywhere. What if Vitalik Buterin dies tomorrow? Do you think that's good for Ethereum? I'm just saying. So anyway, Miguel Hibero said that I'm always bullish on dead people. No, I just bring it up as an extreme situation. There's a tremendous amount of execution risk with Pudgies, with every single NFT project. It's just how it works. You just have to accept it. There's a tremendous amount of execution risk with every security, with MicroStrategy, even though people like it's like a Bitcoin ETF. What if Michael Saylor dies tomorrow? Is MicroStrategy in great shape? Like, I know they have an ass load of Bitcoin, but it's still like a publicly traded company. They still have a functioning business. They still have earnings reports. It's not just a Bitcoin ETF. So anyway, that I just wanted to put that out there. If you think that there isn't execution risk, you got to like kind of figure out what's going on. So that's my position. I don't think it's a hot take.
What I mean was like it's much more, there's more execution risk than before was the way I was looking at it. Before it was like, hey, it's kind of vague. They're kind of like, you know, these are the plans maybe. Now it's like, no, this is exactly what's coming up and what they've been doing.
There's not more or less, the stakes are higher. That's the only distinction that you're saying.
Yeah.
The higher stakes, the higher the floor.
Absolutely. Right?
And so when they make announcements, that's like the biggest thing. I think at this point, honestly, Pudgy's pump is on the back of anticipation of a token. When they finally announce a token, I mean, I said that with such confidence. I actually don't know 100%.
Yeah. Nobody knows.
But I feel like definitively they're launching a token, and that's going to come sometime by next year. And all that you see is a run up to it. It's basically the ape playbook. I feel like Pudgy is a year ahead of us with Bodagos, the way that we're at, where we're at. I think that maybe even a slightly more. And I think that Yuga is a year ahead of Pudgy, basically. The distinction is how they how their paths shift. Yes. They both launched at the same time, but the execution was completely different for that first year, basically.
You have to consider day zero for Pudgy, the day that Luka acquired them.
Which was not that late. I was looking back at the tweets. I think it was 2022, right? Early 2022. And so, am I getting those numbers right? I think I am.
I think you are.
So you're getting early 2022. He went to... got a licensing partner, started solidifying that deal at the beginning of the year, announced it at the end of the year, started creating toys at the beginning of last year. And so like you've started seeing things progress. They're just ahead of the cycle, essentially. And I think also that's why the Sappy Seals trade, I think, is interesting from a number of positions. The number one indicator for all of these things has been communities that have survived the bear market. And that's really the strongest indicator to me, is communities that survived the bear market. Because there's businesses that have existed, but the question is the community as strong as it was? And that's where I see a lot of memes are an important thing, / GIFs, / Instagram, / all these things. Anyways, I'll be discussing it on our town hall today.
Yes.
Or whatever you want to call it. Is it a town hall? Yeah.
Whatever it is. One thing I'd like to note, Nick. So the bear market started, call it in like April 2022, like something like that.
Right after Otherdeed.
Yeah, it's around April 2022. That's when you see like all the liquidity leave crypto. First, it left NFTs, then it left altcoins, then it left Bitcoin. That was like a 20-month bear market. It was a really, really intense bear market. I look at what happened during that bear market. I look at our organization. So, Nick, we reached out to our lead internal artist in February 2023. So that's just right in the absolute throes of that bear market. And that like that hire is like such an important hire. You know what I mean? So I just had a moment of reflection because people say you know, they never stopped building in the bear market. And obviously, like, what the hell else were we going to do? We're a venture-funded startup. Of course, we're going to like work all year round. Like, what the hell are we even talking about? But that hire I view as like incredibly important. And that happened in February 2023. So he's worked here a year.
Oh, you're talking
the guy's name begins with a D.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about someone else. Sorry. Speaking of D, Mr. D, the commenter, says it's not a town hall, it's a revolution. I was gonna say it would be funny if he said it's not a town hall, it's a revolt.
A mutiny.
That would be hilarious. In terms of building, we also created the Bodagos PFP. We like
Clemente also got hired in February 2023. February 2023 was a big month.
Yeah, and we also in January had started. We'd started on another PFP pivoted to Bodago's, that same artist, in February.
Yeah,
let me get February the slash March.
Let me get the date on that.
When we pivoted, we got him in January though. So in 2 months, basically, it takes 3 months to design a PFP, and, approximately something like that.
December 2022 is where we launched in that artist.
We started on that, and then February or March, we pivoted that artist over to Bodago's. Why are we mentioning that? No idea. I have no idea. that's a good question. I think the main thing
is very important is why you were mentioning it, because he made Bodago's. It
was related to execution, which is like bottom line, like in order to roll these things out, everything takes, you know, a little bit of time for those things to manifest. Our Giphy game is just getting started. Our Instagram game just getting started. And it's really the biggest thing is we didn't even have community stuff for Bodago's until June is what I mean. End of June is when Bodago's launched.
Yep.
So, and then we didn't start having gifts until like a few months ago. So like we're so behind. Think about where Pudgy Penguin started rolling out gifts, and they were absolutely smashing the gift game early on. In response to Bored Ape people, they were like the biggest Bored Ape like counter posters. Clemente, what are you grinning at?
Just saying, this is like we're basically starting the AMA right now, basically.
What we were talking about, you said, do they have execution risk? And basically what I'm getting into is the Sappy Seals like execution. They built like a meme generator, for example. And that was like FUDded like hell when they released it. But the outcome has actually been really great, is that there's a lot of seals that are on the timeline as a result of it. And I think that that's like the biggest thing that we're seeing is Pudgy Penguins on the timeline, seals on the timeline. Right now, we're not seeing D-Gods as much on the timeline slash Utes. That community is borderline abandoned, but I think we'll come back. You're making a face like that's an uncomfortable statement. Is that who you're seeing on the timeline right now? It's really like this like collective movement of people basically discussing what's going on at that moment. Now, sometimes there's big milestones, like Moonbirds just had the acquisition thing. There were a lot of core community members that were posting Moonbird stuff, but those are the main people that you see on the timeline right now. You're not seeing the community, in quote, that I would say. You're seeing the community leaders that are being highly communicative about it. And then you're seeing Bored Ape Yacht Club leaders posting about Moonbirds. You saw Gordon Gonner buy a Moonbird, for example, and tweet about it. So you have this sort of activity that's taking place. That is the metric of what's going on, of what's relevant in this space. Pudgy Penguins right now, Sappy Seals right now. Shout out to the Bodagos that are posting GIFs as well as videos of their physical merch. I that's how I measure what's like really going on in the space. And I saw Thread Guy posting about Sappy and just how they were around through the bear market. I don't know. I just think that that's like he's been actively building. And some of his approaches to his communication resonates with me personally.
Yeah, I was going to say you and him are weird kindred spirits.
So hold on, Nick. Can I? This is kind of frustrating for me. I went on a 6-minute rant yesterday about Sappy Seals and my bull case for him, and that didn't resonate with you at all. It took a Thread Guy tweet. Hey, you know what? Yeah, Sappy Seals, they really are. They on it. Come on. Does no, it was nothing to you.
Oh, jeez, Louise! No, your thesis actually contributed yesterday when you were bull posting the hell out of Sappy Seals, saying I'm trying to collect as many of these as I can, you know, below 2 ETH or whatever the number was, and just keep buying. I liked your bull posting. That was actually the thing that really got me going. I looked at Thread Guy after I decided to buy. And when you were bull posting about it yesterday, there's another expanded thesis on Sappy where right now their token is what, 5 cents?
3 cents, I think.
3 cents.
Last time I checked.
I think it pumped to 5 cents this morning.
Okay, but yeah, the Pixel token.
Okay, you want to know my target price on it?
Please.
$1. So I think it 20x's from here. That's that my entire bull case on Sappy is literally that. Because here's the bottom line. In the crypto space, let me expand this.
This is the Pixel token you get if you have staked Roan.
No, stake Sappy.
More than one Pixel token now?
Yeah, it's been the token. I think it's been live in 2021 or something. Your seal generates 50 Pixel a day, a floor one does.
Nick, look at this comment.
Someone says I'm full shit. No, let me explain to you why I believe this. 99% of games in the NFT space will never be developed and played. Or they'll be developed, they suck, and they're not played, but their token is worth $1 billion. Okay? The entire crypto space is about messaging. It's about narrative. It's
right
about
now it
hype.
Is. Right
no,
now
it is. Always is.
No, no, I know, but like in like 8 years.
Oh, yeah. Like different. There will be actual quote utility out of these things. That
and you're
exist.
Talking about the quote crypto space. And I agree with you. Yes.
Yeah. But as far as I'm concerned with all this stuff, oh my God, is it 8 cents now? Fucking PIXL. Can you send me that contract?
Go continue, Nick, please.
So the bottom line is I genuinely believe that that this token has the ability to go to a dollar in a bull market, and it's the most ridiculous sort of thesis that I have, but it to me it's not that crazy because they have a great marketing engine. Now there's a couple of flags I'm going to throw on my thesis here. Wob uses some interesting choice language in his messaging. His essence of his message, I fully agree with. His way of communicating it is a little bit risque. And that's the one thing that is like, which goes against the entire thing. And the same, I feel Bodagos has the ability to develop a narrative as well. But the biggest thing is survival is number one. Can you survive through the bear markets, basically? Can you survive? They did it. Can you go build community through the bear market? They've done it. There's only a handful of people that have done it and still have like any value to their NFTs. Look at Deadfellas. What the hell is that? What's going on there? Everyone, look at Robatos. What the hell is going on there? It's all
this those stuff. Can't be. They can't even be part of the conversation.
No, but they can because they're what I'm pointing at them as is saying, where is the community? Now, one that continued to pump is World of Women. Apparently that community has been strong like since the get-go. But like I just look at community strength and to me Sappy Seals has one of those. So I'm willing to place a bet. I'm willing to move my ape coin or whatever or some other token that I'm taking a flyer on and say, I'm going to go bet on the community, basically. So I'll buy some of their Pixel token. I'll buy some Sappy Seals and just have that bet there and see how it goes during this bull run. That's the synopsis of the thesis.
Got Easy on the stage. Easy, you want to chime in?
Yeah, so I do like the thesis on Seals here and specifically the Pixel token. Emissions for the Pixel token end in March. So that's something that like I've been very hyper-focused on. We saw it actually hit 10 cents last night. So clearly, Kamente's Devil's Lettuce has got his brain a little bit fogged since he's about 3.3% X off of its high that it saw yesterday. There is also Pixel Pets, which is a secondary collection to the Seals ecosystem that's specific to their game. I like what Nick's saying here with a lot of like the billion-dollar valuations that is playing into a lot of this because this game seems like it is coming to fruition a lot faster than many others. And that's where it is interesting. However, for me specifically, we've seen Seals come into the fold and leave many times as far as like attention and economy goes. They have a cult-like community. But right now, with everyone hyper-focused on it, I'm almost like preferring to sit on my hands, even if I don't buy now and miss another entry. And it still goes slightly higher. But I do anticipate a pullback at some point. Like nothing goes up only.
I
Plus, Nick bought it, and I'm not trying to be like I'm just
usually the top signal.
okay, I bought one of them, and last time I bought Moonbirds, and it went up, and I've bought Pudgy. When little Pudgies were at one ETH, and everyone said Nick bought the top.
It was a local top, but it obviously was a local top. It keep pulled going
back, and I'll buy again. So I bought a little bit of Pixel, like $1,000 a Pixel. I got one Sappy, and that's my exposure for right now. When it pulls back 30-40%, probably 80%, Clemente. When it pulls back 80%, I'm gonna ape back in.
By the way,
I want to defend you real quick, Clemente. Yeah. It wasn't Clemente that said that easy. It was me that was talking about the Pixel token.
But I had the price wrong. Frankly, I didn't even care about the Pixel token. I literally just bought it based off of the cult. I'm like, this guy has built the big. He's been training this and building this cult for the last 2 years, every single day. And like, literally, these guys are just like trained us. This is like their. I was telling Pio last night. This is like their Super Bowl right now. They're like, okay, if the NFT, and I'm basically betting on like, if the NFT market does 3x in daily volume, for example, where we do get this like resurgence in NFTs, which is a big if, right? But if that happens, I think Sappy Seals are going to be in the forefront of that, like basically inflow of liquidity. And they're going to be at the center of that attention is my bet. NFTs could literally just flop if Ethereum dumps and we don't see this rally in crypto. It could be a completely different story, but I've got 12 grand put into Sappy Seals right now. And I want to get I would love to be sitting at five Sappy Seals would be my target. I have three right now.
You're making a PO trade here on the Pudgies. The distinction is he's not backed by, you're not backed by Spencer Ventures.
Yeah. Frankly,
yet we don't know. We find out about Spencer Venture allocation after the allocation has been made. We don't know.
But anyways, yeah, that's my call. And like what the number one giveaway for me, Nick, was when these things did a 2X on Monday and you didn't see a single person celebrating. Like I didn't see a single Sappy CEO being like, oh, let's go. We hit 1.5 ETH. Like I told you guys, they're literally like not even thinking about selling. Hold the line, higher for longer. Let's go.
Their response was, you bought where you deserve to buy. Like, that was the best thing I've ever seen, in my opinion. I was like, that was beautifully put. That is the best cult verbiage I've ever heard. Like, that's a home run.
They're just, I love it. I love just a group of absolute sickos. Look, last story. We got Moonbirds and Yuga Labs. We're a week removed from the acquisition. Nick, so this was a good acquisition for Yuga Labs because they got cash without having to raise a funding round, right? If they had hard-coded royalties the whole time, they wouldn't have needed to do this. Like if the technology was in place when Bored Ape Yacht Club first launched on the first contract to have hard-coded royalties for these 3 years or whatever, they wouldn't have needed to do this. The business would be more, you know, it would just be better positioned. And now they're going to migrate to royalty enforced contracts. So royalties are going to come back.
They're going to have to transfer. So here's the weird thing. Bored Ape Yacht Club's tokens are permanent and they sent the owner to a burn address. So like they can't do anything with the Bored Ape tokens themselves. They instead have to create like a wrapper essentially. It's a weird position. What is this person saying? The how's that punk trade looking? I don't know. I'm up 2x, but
you're up $100,000.
Yeah.
What?
Stay focused, Nick. Stay focused. Ignore the comments. Let's go.
Sorry, my bad.
That person's like, nah, man. I only do trades where I'm up $400,000.
ADHD kicked in there. My bad. Yeah, the acquisition, they were able to get cash. I did two tweets on the same day, literally back to back. I said, this is the dumbest trade ever. And then I followed up with, this is a great buy. There's two separate things. From a tokenomics standpoint, this sucks. That said, they were able to do it as a stock transaction to a team that was going to continue executing and run the business. They were able to bring on $40 to $80 million of cash. which is a ton of money, and they needed it. They were able to do it without a dilutive round or a down round, which would have been the case, I think, in this situation, because they haven't rolled out anything associated with it. There's just, I don't know, there's a lot of, there's just inherent risk, though. So Clemente talking about execution risk, this is just more of that. Like, it's just this situation where they took on huge obligations. They are swinging big. And it makes sense, given the CEO that they have, that that's the play that they have. That dude's, I don't know how much he's worth, but he's got to be worth tens of millions of dollars at a minimum. It's like, he doesn't give a shit about, like, small plays. Like, the only thing that matters is, like, I'm swinging for billions.
I was going to say, it should actually just be noted that the fact that that guy is the CEO of Yuga Labs is something that I feel like was never properly, like, appreciated, and people aren't like, holy shit, like, we really got a 13-year executive from Google and a guy from Activision that was at the executive level to run one of these NFT businesses. It's actually pretty wild. Like, he hasn't quit. If he had just quit like 6 or 9 months in, which would be the easy thing to do, then you could be like, wow, we really like we're really not going in the right direction. He's like, nah, I'm going to go ahead and crush this shit.
I mean, he's doing his thing. I think the biggest thing is where they've become disconnected is with the community. And that's like the biggest issue that they have. And they're trying to resolve that at the moment. I did see D-Farmer like ape back in to the apes. He was like, fuck it, like I'm back in, basically. And that's been a vibe that I've been having as well. It's when everything is so negative on the timeline about Bored Ape Yacht Club is the right time to be buying Bored Ape Yacht Club stuff. I saw someone like someone fading Bored Ape Kennel Club, for example. If it's down bad, it may be an opportunity to buy. Like, there's now there's not as much utility there, but like the mutants seem like maybe the trade that you end up doing associated with this. So, like, whatever it is, you're looking for some sort of collectible in their ecosystem that they're going to end up delivering some sort of value to. And when everyone hates it, that's the best time to buy it, basically.
It's just really complex and hard. And there's so many mechanics at play. They could just get hot again because the market just decides they're hot and people start FOMOing in and the price goes up, even though it's not an indicator of anything. I mean, think about it. From the week before versus the week after of our organization, when Gordon Gonner decided he wanted to buy a Bodago and tweet about it as his first Solana NFT, it's not like suddenly the execution from the week before to the week after was just exceptionally stronger. Like, what a week they had. Let's pump this thing to the moon. The market mechanics of collectibles that anybody in the entire world can easily buy and sell literally with the press of a button, like in an instant, especially now with platforms like Blur, it just makes for these wild mechanics. And the reality is everybody that has Bored Apes does not care if Daniel Allegre builds a robust, you know, world, like something that compels the entire gaming world, like, you know, just a robust gaming ecosystem. All they care about is if he makes the price go up. He's a hero if the price goes up. If the price even just stays flat, what the hell is this guy doing, you know?
I don't think he's interested in that. Like, that's the biggest thing. And I think that's where, like, Gordon and Gargamel have the highest odds of, like, driving that sort of thing forward. Not having Gordon in there, I think, is a real, like, it's very clear how much of an impact he has from a cultural standpoint. And he's like, he really is a Web3 cultural leader. And that's something that he just gets it. And the, like, I don't know how, like, I don't know how Gargamel compares on that front, but basically them two are the main people behind that side of things. And there's no doubt that Garga probably has been distracted with other things as well at the same time, weighing in on the games, weighing in on other stuff.
He's funny.
Clemente pulled up a tweet basically where he said, sorry, we acquired Moonbirds. Won't do it again. And it's a picture of a cat saying, me on my way to give my homies GN kisses.
Yeah. So he's very, very good at online communities, which is like the number one skill set, more or less, for this industry. Dude, we had Nathaniel Whitmore, NLW, host of the Breakdown podcast on the Bitcoin show yesterday, and he doesn't know who I am. He has no idea who I am. And maybe he saw that I have an NFT profile picture, but he does not know what Bodagos is. He does not know what I am, who I am. And he proactively, honestly, kind of went pretty deep on NFTs. I was pretty surprised. I just did not expect him to talk about NFTs. And he was talking about the community factor and everything, and talking about the online community strength, because I brought up like the idea of like Barstool Sports, or like after he started talking about NFTs, I was like, all right, we can jam on NFTs a little bit. And I talked about the idea of like a brand like Barstool Sports that has a loyal fan base having NFTs in the future. And he was like, yeah, I don't even know if I think that's really going to be a thing, which I think he's actually right about when you really think about it. He's like, I'm more interested in just on like natively online community unification via NFTs, which is exactly what NFTs are.
Unification. Remember that word from yesterday's call?
I remember, Nick. Yeah. And look, Nick, you're going to say what you're going to say, like I said to Clemente. So it's not like, you know, whatever. People are running with this quote. I do not expect Nathaniel to know who I am. This is not me being like, do you not know who I am? No, I just meant like he doesn't know that I'm an NFT person. He literally doesn't know me from a hole in the wall, is what I was trying to say.
The last thing I'll say on Yuga Labs to watch for is pretty much is very relevant. Well, Gordon Gonner was not on the community call, like the AMA. He was in the audience. He was just listening, which I thought was kind of interesting. I mean, obviously he's just like an advisor now, but that was kind of interesting. The other thing is for the next 30 days, we have Dookie Dash 2.0. Right, or reloaded. That's the first thing to be watching for in terms of like real deliverables. Pretty much maybe one of Daniel's first like real deliverables that he's owned. It's that. And then the other side trip is going to be like very interesting to see what sentiment is like, what Daniel's messaging is. Dude,
why doesn't Bored Ape Yacht Club do a real life other side trip where they all go do ayahuasca in Ecuador or something like that? Like that seems to me like a big move there. Or whatever, go down to Mexico or any country, not the U.S., to go do a real life psychedelic retreat, basically.
Tim Dillon was going off on this on the Theo Vaughn podcast the other day, where he was just like, if your shaman is a white chick named Jennifer that lives in East Hollywood, she's not a shaman. You're a drug addict. And he's like, there's no way that the Incans were created ayahuasca and started the process of ayahuasca so you could figure out how you can position yourself to get a Range Rover. Okay. He's like, this is not what this stuff is for. He's like cracking up Theo Vaughn. He's so funny. All right. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Dude, it's become so commonplace. My therapist literally brought up, he was like, yeah, we have this retreat down to Mexico. And I was like, he has a group that he does. And I was like, oh, are you guys like going down there to do ayahuasca? Kind of like half jokingly. He was like, actually, yeah, but it's not ayahuasca. It's some other thing called that starts with a B. I'm blanking on the name of it. Oh. It's another, I'll find the name of this. It's another psychedelic. That's the bottom line.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
What do you mean?
Sorry, I was just had some audio bleeding because I was preparing this clip, but keep going. Sorry.
All these things have the ability to basically kill you is one of the things that's part of it. I want to be clear. So it's a psychedelic experience. Hold on. I'm looking for the name of this thing. It starts with a B. It starts with an I. Ibogaine.
Sound money goes blow.
Hey, blow is cocaine comes from South America. Clemente, I sent the clip if you want to play it real quick. Just have some fun when we close out. Also, real quick, the guy I was going back and forth with on LinkedIn sent another message that I'm just seeing right now. So this guy, Niall Shapiro, has been telling me that Bitcoin is worth zero on LinkedIn. I don't know who this guy is, but I'm having a lot of fun just kind of cooking Niall on LinkedIn in a public forum. Anyway, Clemente, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I'll up real quick. The Tim Dillon and
I like how all of your professional contacts, real quick before you play this, all your professional contacts are probably like, what's wrong with Pio? Like, why is he so negative on LinkedIn?
Not negative. I'm just cooking people that don't know what Bitcoin is.
It's an interesting way to get someone to adopt it, basically. is be like, you're a dumb idiot. I'm a shit on you when I'm rich. Anyways, go ahead.
All right. There's not enough differentia these days amongst the PTSD community.
I've said it a lot. I don't want to hear that word unless you're in a war.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about PTSD. I don't want to hear that you're taking, you don't need to take ayahuasca all the time. Like a lot of these people now just take ayahuasca.
I just came from a ceremony.
Yeah. But I mean, it's okay every now and then, but people are like overboard.
Oh, people are doing it too much.
It's overboard. It's like the Incans did not come up with ayahuasca so you could try to figure out how to get a Range Rover. There's no way that was the intended purpose of ayahuasca. It's a religious, they used to give it to kids before they fight them. and if your shaman is named Jennifer and she lives in Studio City, it's not a shaman. You can't follow around a white in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're just a junkie at that point.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, a little bit of comedy there for the audience. Go ahead.
Well, you did properly retell the entire thing. So we did get the synopsis from it. He's like, everyone's doing, I don't disagree with him on the trauma standpoint. There's people who've been abused and I would consider that valid PTSD definitively. But outside of that, that was a hilarious bit.
Yeah. No, Tim Dillon's super funny. All right, well, look, we gotta wrap things up here, ladies and gentlemen. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time each and every week. It's available across platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the channel if you want to watch the show instead of just listening. Obviously, listening is just fine. We appreciate people wherever they get the content. We also actually stream video to X platform also. So if you're on X and you want to watch the show, that's totally on the table. Yeah, I mean, look, we're going to be doing this Bodago's AMA in about a half hour. Start at about 10:45, as long as Jack does not yell at us. I think that we'll be able to get that across the line, 10:45 a.m. And check it out.
At 10:30, dude.
Jack's going to love that. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, really hope you enjoyed the show. 30 minutes from now, just about AMA, Bodago's Discord. Be there or be square. Catch you guys next time. See ya.